Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
The Met Messiah, Loogie.
Loogie.
Dog.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Loogie is the future of the station.
It's the Loogower on The Fan.
All right, let's go. Tommy Loogower. Loogie. More of what we saw in game three, please. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. When we last spoke on Friday, and it feels like a while ago since we spoke over the holiday weekend, the Knicks on Friday night, and I was in the building, it was one of the most eerie experiences I've ever had at the end of that game. Obviously, Brunson misses the three. They foul. And a lot of fans left. You could hear a pin drop at Madison Square Garden on Friday night. Pin drop. And I think a lot of Knicks fans, and I put it out there on social media, no biggie, because it is no biggie. The Knicks are road warriors. The Knicks battle back off a loss, off of two losses. I'm confident in their grit. I'm confident in their heart. I'm confident in their leadership. I'm confident in their determination. And that's why I knew they would bounce back in game three. What I wasn't confident in, though, is Tibbs' ability or willingness to adapt, to change, to try something different. And we saw that on Sunday night. Whether it was changing the starting lineup and putting Mitchell Robinson in the starting lineup, something I like having the two bigs out there, Mitch and Kat. Whether it was going to your bench or expanding your bench and actually seeing, you know, Shamit or DeLon Wright or whoever the case may be, Tibbs was in a situation where the Knicks' backs were against the wall. It was ugly in the first half. Now, I remain confident because, number one, I'm positive, Tommy. I told you this game seven, you could take it to the bank, Knicks in seven. And I said when I made the prediction that this series, because, well, positive, Tommy, why wouldn't you pick it in four or five? Because I knew this series would be a ride, a roller coaster. And even though at times it would be gut-wrenching, even though at times you would get agita, even though at times you would want to either throw your remote out the window or flip a table or get mad and scream and yell and curse the Knicks and quit and give up on the season, I told you it ultimately would end in a Game 7 victory, Madison Square Garden, where we could all celebrate together in the greatest city in the world. And so far, it has lived up to the billing. And in game three, and I said this in a video after the Knicks lost on Friday night, that they would rip the hearts out of the Indiana Pacers and their fans, and that's exactly what they did. The Knicks are more comfortable down 20 than they are up 20. And to Indiana's credit, they are just abusing the Knicks with the pick and roll. They are identifying the weak Knicks defenders, and we know who they are, and it's all good. It's JB, it's Kat. And they are trying to get those one-on-ones. They are patient. Even though they're fast-paced, they are patient because they know the matchups that they can get that they like when they have the ball. And that's attacking Brunson. That's why he was in foul trouble. That's attacking Kat. That's why he's been in foul trouble. Also, Kat has his, you know, bad offensive fouls. He's at least good for one or two of those a game. Tibbs showed you that he is willing to make the tough decisions. And I said that on Friday. He is going to have to make tough decisions. That's just whether it's putting Hart, you know, on the bench to start. And Josh came out and said, dude, I don't care. And that adds up. You know, Josh Hart is one of these players that feels like a team-oriented guy, team-first guy, wins is the most important statistics. So he's the easiest guy to put on the bench. And Mitchell Robinson is a force. He's the best offensive rebounder in the league, and he is great defensively. You're also going to have to make tough decisions, and they did this. Now, we could sit here and argue, should he brought Brunson back in the game earlier? It ended up working out, so really no need to have that argument. But the bottom line is there have been multiple spots in this series where the Knicks have actually played better with Brunson on the bench. Now, they are obviously much better with Jalen Brunson, the king of New York, the closer, and he's going to have a monster game tonight. He's going to have that signature moment. But I credit Tibbs for making those uncomfortable, especially the other night, a uncomfortable decision, even though he was in foul trouble, to keep Brunson on the bench. Because, and I screamed for him on Friday, Deuce McBride, more of that, please. Deuce could hit big shots. We know that. He could hit three-pointers. We know that. He could get after it defensively. We know that. There are players on this bench that can contribute. Even if you don't want to go deep cuts like Landry Shamet, there are guys that can contribute. Deuce McBride and Mitchell Robinson, for sure. 100%. It's about the uncomfortable decisions. It's about Tibbs looking in the mirror and going, you know what? I've never been able to get the chip. And the knock on me that's followed me throughout my entire career is that I'm stubborn. I'm rigid. Maybe even a little bit of a curmudgeon. And it's my way or the highway. Well, when you're down 2-0 and you're facing a coach like Rick Carlisle, who's one of the best in the league, and he makes adjustments and frankly was schooling you and out coaching you through two games and about two quarters, the light switch went off really like at some point in the second quarter, but in the second half, and Tibbs made those adjustments and the uncomfortable decisions. And he's going to have to continue to do that. But I was super confident on Sunday night, especially with, and I don't get nuts with this. I know Knick fans love this to just, and they would want me to like sort of rally around and blast, you know, Shaq and Chuck and Reggie Miller. It is what it is. It's Knicks for clicks. It's going against one of the top markets. Well, not forget, not one of the top market with the top fan base where we're all, you know, gassed up, wired up. Anything you say to us, hey, go, you know, go scratch. We're just wired that way. So it's, that's what the guys on the, inside the NBA. Miller's just a fan of the Pacers. We know that. So when he was bellyaching and crying at the end of the first half, I knew that it was a wrap. Oh, it's down to 13. I don't like this. I don't like the body language. I don't like it. It was like one of us doing the game. And that's the beauty of it as far as gauging it. You can hear it in Reggie Miller's voice when he's confident, and you can hear it when he's not so confident. And he was doing nothing but crying the other night. Sunday night, he was crying. He could feel it. I could feel it. I could sense it. They get it to 13 going to the half, 10 at the end of the third quarter. You could hear the energy and the air being sucked out of that building. The Pacers started missing their shots. The Knicks started making their shots. Same at the free throw line. And I knew we were good. Now, as far as tonight goes, like I said, much of the same. Tibbs has to make those uncomfortable decisions. And Karl Anthony Towns, who, when he first came here, I made it very clear, was never really a big fan, thought he had a low basketball IQ, toughness I would question at times, shot selection, even though he could hit it from anywhere in the arena, at times not great, body language, the whole deal. And I will say this, when he does drive to the basket, he does look like the wacky inflatable tube guys. If you've ever seen that, if you've been to a kid's party, and I'm doing it right now, you can't see me on the radio, but he does look like that. It's a little awkward, but bottom line is, Sunday night, down 2-0, with, other than in the eyes of positive Tommy, because to me it would have been no biggie, four straight for the Knicks, make history. The season was on the line. They're down 20, they're down 16, they're down 13. Brunson in foul trouble. Karl Anthony Towns, my pick for the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, he carried the Knicks. He put the team on his back, though. That's what he did. And there's still people that don't want to give him credit for that, which is outrageous. And yeah, he's got to bring it every night. I understand that. He does. But I knew he would feast in this series because he's feasted on Indiana all season long. This is a good matchup for him. Every matchup's a good matchup for him, by the way. And that's part of the frustration. Every matchup is good. The size, the ability to knock down threes, if he could put it all together on a night-and-out basis, he'd be the most unstoppable force in the NBA. Just you don't always get that. The light switch went off the other night for both Tibbs and Cat, and that is the key going into the series. We know Brunson's going to have his moment. He hasn't yet. That's fair. And he's a liability defensively. We all know that. He can't guard a Christmas tree. It's fine. He can't. And they're going to attack him on that in that regard. JB will have his clutch moment. JB will have his games. JB will get us across the finish line. But Karl Anthony Towns is doing the work. And he did the work the other night. And he certainly deserves credit for that. Because there's people that had him getting traded for Giannis before the season was over. There's people that had Tibbs getting fired before the season's over. And I get the emotion and I get the, you know, need to have an opinion every 3 seconds in the world of social media. But Sunday night, a lot of people took some L's. Not just the coalition. And we know the coalition was dancing. Whether it was Sean, whether it was Evan, whether it was Dave Portnoy, whether it was Charles Barkley, whether it was Shaq, whoever the case may be. They celebrated way too early. They want the Knicks to get swept. They want the Knicks to get embarrassed. They want us to get embarrassed. They want us to go quietly into the night. Well, that will not happen. That will not happen on Positive Tommy's watch. There is no quit in Positive Tommy. There is no quit in the Knicks. And the Knicks did exactly what I said they would do. Rip the hearts out of the Indiana Pacer fans. That's it. Out of their chest, to be more specific. And that's what they did. Their sports chest, by the way. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Steve in Smithtown.
Hello, Tommy. Very excited for the game. Two quick points, and very confused on it here. Why do you think it is that Pat, it almost seems like Kat and Jalen Brunson can't play well together, like when it comes to these comebacks? And two, how important do you think the bench will be tonight after seeing how big they were last game? Not saying that it'll be huge every game, but specifically in this series.
Yeah, Steve. So that's been something that I've been addressing since really night one of the season. And you bring in a Karl Anthony Towns because of the pick and roll to give Jalen Brunson that other superstar player, to give him that, you know, Robin to his Batman, and the ability for off the pick and roll for Brunson to find an open Karl Anthony Towns to knock down threes, which he can do just at an alarming rate for a big man. I think it's a chemistry thing. I think it's something that to expect two players like that to, in one season, be Shaq and Kobe, or to be Jordan Pippen, or whatever the case may be, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, you can give me a million examples, Curry and Clay and Draymond, to Tatum and Brown, it's hard to do. Look at the Thunder. They're finally got there. It takes time to build that chemistry. I think it's kudos to this team that they're in the Eastern Conference Finals, because you have a brand new starting five in the sense that you bring in Bridges, you bring in Kat. Not easy to do. And then you have Jalen Brunson, who likes to be ball dominant down the stretch. We know he's the most clutch player in the NBA. So it's a learning curve. It's an adjustment period. And it hasn't been perfect. There are some nights that it's a head scratcher, for sure. It's just something they're going to get better, and they're going to have to figure that out night in and night out basis. As far as the bench, it is absolutely pivotal that Tibbs utilizes this bench. Has to. The Pacers are deep. The Pacers play at a high pace. And they will force you to just run around the court all night long. And you get into a series, a long series, which is obviously going seven. You have to utilize the bench because you have guys on there that play great defense, whether it's Wright, whether it's Mitch, whether it's Deuce. Even campaigns, a pain in the neck. Not rest your starters, but realize that that starting five, the talent's there, but sometimes the cohesiveness is not totally there. Sometimes the chemistry's not totally there. Even Josh Hart. To me, Josh Hart's a guy to utilize off the bench because he's instant energy. He's rebounding. And he had an extra... Look, he never gets tired, but he had an extra gear the other night, and that's what I want. I want a Josh Hart in the fourth quarter that has that extra, extra gear that could get after it on the glass, because that's the key, too, that the Knicks need to own the glass, get those second or third chance opportunities, and when they do that, Indiana doesn't stand a chance. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Will on the fan. What's up, Will?
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Tommy. I just wanted to say thank you so much for being a great leader of the Knicks, and that we're going to lead the Knicks to the finals with your aura, and that you will take down the coalition of Knicks haters. Thank you.
Will, brilliantly said. And you're right. Positive Tommy, whether it's his aura, whether it's the vibes, and Positive Tommy is an all-time vibes guy. I'm in the Vibes Hall of Fame. His aura, I seen it. It was orange. And it is just my privilege and honor to do that. And I know a lot of people doubted Positive Tommy after game one. And you doubted Positive Tommy after game two. And then at halftime, you were probably saying that friggin' Positive Tommy. You know, he better not say anything on social media. I don't want to hear from this guy. I had Knicks fans coming up to me today saying they were mad at me after a game two on Friday night. And what I would tell you is, let me lead, let me do my thing, my aura, my energy, my positivity, the power of positivity, which I fully believe in. I believe in Positive Tommy. I believe in the power of positivity. So enjoy the experience, enjoy the ride, and let me do the heavy lifting. So you're welcome. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Vinny in Tom's River. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I just Yeah, I'm doing well. I mean, I appreciate your the positivity. I don't know about tonight. I'm nervous as hell. But I agree with you with this Miller stuff. Why can't he announce the Western Conference then?
Well, because it's like, on another network. That's why. So it's on another network. It's on ESPN. Obviously, TNT has the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't get nuts about that stuff. I understand if it bothers you. My only point and the reason I brought it up is because you know Reggie is rooting for the Pacers. And on Sunday night, he sounded like a fan that knew his team was screwed. He did. Listen back closely if you weren't, because I understand not, you know, being locked in, especially with Reggie Miller, who's completely, we know, rooting for the Pacers. He sounded like a fan that knew the game was over, even though they were up 13 going in the half. Oh, boy, the Knicks went on a run. And, you know, going into halftime, oh, boy, the Pacers are letting him hang around. Oh, boy, he could feel it. Notice in those first couple games, quiet confidence, sort of almost even a cockiness. I didn't hear that the other night. I heard somebody that was scared for his basketball team. So not just the power of positivity, but I could hear it in Reggie Miller's voice. So be on the, you know, the listen for that. Reggie will tip his hand based on how confident he is night in, night out in these games. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Kurt in Tom's River. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, Tommy. Thank you so much for your positivity.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm listening to Joe B Saturday morning, and you know,
yeah, he said it was over.
Going to come up again. You know, it's over. They're calling for Tibbs' head. And I'm like, listen, until game three is over, you gotta believe. Did you see game one and two of the Celtics? My son is in the corner of the couch going, yes, 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 at the end of those games, and we came back and pulled it off. So, talking about Tibbs and the bench, until we either win or lose, you gotta believe in this team.
Yeah, Kurt, listen, I'm 100% with you, and I did, you know, because Evan, of course, wanting to drink the tears of his former partner, sent us a clip of Joe.
I'm an ass.
Right out of the gate. Bro, you know this freaking series is over now. Let me get to this freaking head coach, bro. Can he do something? Can he change the lineup? Can he do something here? That's what makes Joe Joe, and that's what makes Joe great. And Joe is positive Joe when things are going well, and when they're not, he's negative Joe. Positive Tommy is always positive Tommy.
I'm stupid, okay?
He never wavers. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't even have pores, he being Positive Tommy. There is no panic in the voice of Positive Tommy. There is no quitting Positive Tommy. And that's why you need a Positive Tommy. So you're welcome, and I'm glad you enjoyed the game. And you're right, especially this year of all years, the NBA playoffs have been bonkers. Normally it's chalky and you could write the script. The script writers really, when I read the script here, because as you know, I know the future. I see the future. I see the script. When I saw this script, I was like, geez, this is wild. Home court means nothing, so it's not over. It's not over if they go down 3-1. It's over when it's over, right? So, and I think that they've earned our trust and our faith and their ability to bounce back, which they have been phenomenal at so far in this playoff run. Let's go to Adam. He's on the fan. What's up, Adam?
Tommy, what's happening? You ready for the game?
I'm pumped up, man. I'm going to the Garden tonight, actually. They're not playing there? Actually, I'm going to the watch party at the Garden. Imagine I showed up at the Garden, think the game was home, and I don't see players on the court, and I go, what the hell did I show up here for? To watch a big screen? But that's what I'm doing. I'm really excited for it.
I love that. Yes. Listen, man, I'm so happy that they're going to be at least a win. If it was 3-0, that'd be a lot different on Positive Tommy, right?
Well, Adam, 3-0 down, it depends on how you look at it. Positive Tommy likes a challenge. Positive Tommy likes not proving the doubters wrong, because the haters are going to hate and the doubters are going to doubt, and it just is what it is. You want haters, so all good on that. But when I have Knicks fans doubting, there's almost a part of me that wants to really show the true power of Positive Tommy, and going down 3-0 and winning four straight, making history, would have just cemented it, at least for about that would have bought Positive Tommy about a half hour until the Mets blew a game in July. Positive Tommy stinks! This guy, I mean, are you kidding me? It's like in Seinfeld. Two homers? You know, you can never do enough. But that's okay. It's all good. Down 3-0, down 3-1, down 2-0. Positive Tommy never wavers. because I believe in the team and I believe in positivity. Let's go to Pete in Deer Park. What's up, Pete?
What's up, Loogie? Man, yeah. I love your positivity because I believe in everything, in every facet of every part of life.
As you should.
If you're not going to be positive about anything, nothing but negativity is going to happen to you. And like I tell my son, the yogi-isms, it's not over till it's over.
Definitely.
All right, and listen, keep up the good work. I love your show, man. Listen, you're definitely, the future, brother.
Yeah, no, I'm the future. I am the generational talent. I'm the future of this radio station. I'm really the future of the business. I say radio station, but just the future of the business, of course. Generational talent, the whole deal, positive Tommy. And you're right. You really need to go through life positively. As far as I know, you only get one shot at it. Maybe you get multiple. I don't know. But I'm assuming you might come back as a hamster. I guess that's... And if you're... Maybe be more positive when you're a gerbil. Because if your team's down 3-0, you're a gerbil. You've never seen a championship. The Joe Beningo gerbil. Hey, I'm a gerbil, bro. Can we freaking get a win here? Can I see a championship before I die? I mean, gerbils only live till they're 20. All right, that's enough impressions. We'll do it. Where are we at here? All right, my thanks to Rami Levy on the other side of the glass. Keith McPherson comes your way next. Evan and Tiki, we are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I am on my way to Madison Square Garden. Let's get this win. Let's send it back home for real. 2-2. Evan and Tiki tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Keith McPherson next. Enjoy the night. Let's go, Knicks. We will talk to you then. Later.